boys and girls, you can sit down very gently. Try not to push those in the back off the bleachers. Great. Oh, thank you so much for telling us the real meaning of Christmas. And there's more to come. Now, boys and girls, I have to tell you something. You have already done such a wonderful job of reminding us what Christmas is, but right now I've got a few things that I want to say to your mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Now, you're allowed to listen to what I say. In fact, I might say some things that you understand and you're going to want to talk to your parents about on the way home today. And I'm looking forward to this part because the kids have set me up so well. And aren't you impressed with how much of the scripture these kids are learning in Sunday school? Yeah. It's really wonderful. We've been reminded once again by the kids that Christmas is all about God's rescue mission for the world. It's a rescue mission that cost God everything. I don't know if you've thought about the difference between what we've been seeing in the world and the world's view of Christmas and what we have heard this morning, but the two stories couldn't be more different. There's the one image of Christmas that we see in our culture, and the primary icon or image is Santa Claus coming to our house in a sleigh, being pulled by reindeer. We see it everywhere. Santa Claus comes and he dispenses gifts to boys and girls who have behaved themselves. And of course, we learn that through the great hymnology of Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. See, you know these songs too. Santa Claus is coming to town. And then the writer of the song bestows on Santa Claus the gift of omniscience. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Now, this Christmas, after the 25th, when we open our gifts, it will not be surprising if some people ask you on the street or back at work, was Santa good to you? And if you received a number of gifts, you will say, oh yes, we had a wonderful Christmas. But the implication is, if you have received gifts from Santa Claus, it's because you have been good. Now, that vision of Christmas is so radically different from what the kids have just told us. Because in the story of the Bible, God sends Jesus, the Messiah, who is born of the Virgin Mary, is laid in a manger like this, and he comes not to give gifts to good children, but to give himself to children who cannot color inside the lines. It's so very, very different. Over here, the story of Santa Claus is basically the story of religion without Christ. It's good people get what they deserve. The story of Christmas, according to the Bible, is that bad people get what they don't deserve. And that's why we call it the gospel or the good news. As one of the young ladies just shared a minute ago, the angel came to the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for you and for all people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord." Now, there might be somebody here, and you're asking today, after what you've seen and heard from the kids and what you're hearing right now, you're asking, "Brian, would you just remind me in a nutshell once again what this good news or gospel is?" And I'm so glad that you've asked, because I'm going to tell you again what it is. But I'm going to do what the kids have done. You see, the kids have memorized the gospel by memorizing various Bible verses. Many of the verses that we heard are called the Romans Road. It's called that because all five verses come from the book of Romans. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. First of all, number one, from Romans chapter 1, it says that we have exchanged the truth of God for a lie and have worshiped and served the creatures rather than the Creator. In other words, God has given us Himself, and He's given us many good gifts, but we have chosen to make those gifts the ultimate, and we've pushed the giver away. That's number one, and it's very bad news indeed. But there's more. In Romans chapter 3, it says that all of us are guilty of doing that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That there's nobody who's good. Nobody seeks God. All of our mouths are like open graves. All of our hearts are deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. So we have exchanged the truth that God gave us for a lie, and we've worshiped God's gifts and not God. All of us are guilty of that. And number three says in chapter 6 of Romans that the penalty of sin is death. Sin is so serious that the consequences of that sin are equally as serious. And God, because of His holy nature, must punish sin and sinners. And that punishment means death, not only physical death, but eternal death, or what the Bible calls hell. Ah, but the fourth point is that God demonstrated His love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what does it mean that Christ died for us? It means that God sent His Son, who would never sin, to become sin mysteriously so that the sin of the whole world could fall upon Him and He would pay the penalty that we deserve to pay for our sin. One Bible writer put it this way: all of us like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned our own rebellious way, but the Lord has laid on Him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So number one, we've exchanged the truth of God for a lie and pushed God away. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The penalty of sin is death, eternal separation from God. But God in His love and mercy has sent Jesus. And while we were pushing Him away, He died for us. And the Bible says that 3 days later, He rose again from the dead, never to die again. So then what do we do about that? Well, we've heard the kids already tell us. These last five asked a number of penetrating questions. Each child said, "Will you? Will you? Will you? Will you? Will we do what?" The last of the five is Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness or justification or a right relationship with God. And with the mouth, confession is made, resulting in salvation or a new life. Jesus is God's rescue boat for a drowning world. And Jesus, this Christmas, is reaching out to you and saying, please don't think you're good enough to get there in the end. You are not, but I am, and I've taken care of all the alienation between you and God. I have paid the price for you. And I'm going to give you so much more than gifts. Santa Claus comes and dispenses gifts and takes off, and we never get a glimpse of him. But I have come, and I have stayed through the Holy Spirit, and He is indeed knocking on your heart's door right now. Will you invite Jesus in? Let's pray. Good for you. Good for you. Let's pray. Some of you may want to start a relationship with Jesus today. And if so, you can pray this simple little prayer quietly in your heart. Pray this: Dear Lord Jesus, today I confess that I am more sinful than I ever knew, and yet I am more loved than I could possibly dream. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Jesus, I trust you today, and I invite you into my heart. And I pray that from this moment forward, you would enable me to follow you all the rest of my life. In your name we pray. Amen. This is groundbreaking news. Amen.